Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Time Light Men Out Poetry Family Podcast, where we talk about all things inspirational, things that motivate you to get you moving forward with your life, your day, your moments in time, and also we encourage you strongly to write your life, because writing inspires change in you and whatever you decide to do. And always be encouraged, no matter what, that your life matters. And your life matters to everybody on this planet, because you're unique to this planet. For whatever reason, we're put here to do something. And most of the time, encouragement is something that we seek outside of ourselves to allow us to continue on with the service that we feel we're called to do in life. And as I reflect on this episode here, the whole purpose for living is undetermined by life itself. You come into the world not knowing what exactly you're supposed to do. All you know is that of a process of growth inside of your mother's womb, you come into the world and you're with a group of people that are supposed to rear you, that are supposed to rear you responsibly so that you can find out what your calling is in life. But with the disruptions of how men and women behave in this day and age, sometimes guidance doesn't really seem to be there for us. In other words, we have to seek external things outside of our families to best coordinate our lives into dreams and goals. And life is, I think, an indication of when you look around at things, you become overwhelmed by the beauty of life. And life in and of itself is beautiful, but the interaction with people is sometimes complicated. And we find ourselves going down pathways that we never thought we would go or intervene or have someone to intervene or just go all the way to the end of the path to see what's down there. And sometimes the road less traveled allows you to develop a pathway of your own. And that may be through hard iron grit and determination, but you go against the grain just so that you can prove that your life is worth something. And you're proving that to the world of man. Sometimes we say we're proving it to ourselves, but most of the time when we get there, we say to people, look at me now. But when something is done internally for the sole purpose of you knowing what your purpose is, that has a whole different meaning in the life and the time in which you live. And this is the journey that most of the time we find ourselves on. The correct pathway to life is that there is no correct path to life. Life in and of itself is a journey from living to dying. That is the only pathway that life has for you. It doesn't have an alternative motive. It doesn't have an ulterior agenda. Life is just life. But when we begin to interact with life, we begin to feel that something in between the living and the dying becomes important, because we have to have self-determination to make ourselves become something in our eyes before we pass away. And the greatest level of doing that is to find or to set some goal that is insurmountable for you to accomplish, but it's something that you have to do anyway. And we have examples of this all around our lives, all throughout the world, all throughout the books that have been written, all of the podcasts that have been done, all of the posts that have been made. People are constantly telling you what they've done to get where they need to be. And sometimes you listen to that because why? You want to see if that same formula is something that's going to work for you. You may not be meant to do that, but are they telling you something that will encourage you to get out there and live to your fullest potential. Because there's an expiration date for every human being on the planet. It cannot be escaped no matter what you do. And so in thinking about writing your life, or thinking about enjoying your life, and thinking about living your life, what you're looking for is what motivates you. You know, you got a guy named Tony Robbins, you have Les Brown, you have now tons of people coming out now on a way to motivate you to get up and do what you need to do for yourself. And I mean, these men and women are powerful people when it comes to guiding you or giving you information about what it takes. But what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your time? What are you going to do with how you structure your life to make your life a most impressive life for you? And no matter what we say, when one door closes on you, and I know that there's another one, like people say, but just take a moment and pause for a second and ask yourself, why is this door closed to me? What made this door an option for me to go into it the first place? And then what made this door close for me? People got all kind of solutions for you. People got all kind of answers for you. And some people may not have an answer for you, right? But when you look at the doors being closed, you have to ask yourself, like, why? If you come up with this strong enough why, then you can leave and proceed to the next one. Because eventually, like they say, life is going to yield to you the things that you desire most so that you can accomplish your objective on this planet. And if you're inside of the room where the door is open, and then all of a sudden you're ejected from that door for whatever reason, then once you take an analysis of being ejected from the door, then what do you do with that ejection? And you got to look back and understand, like, what caused this, even if it was your fault or not your fault or some other mode or some other thinking that caused that, then you still going to have to move on, because once you're ejected, you don't really go back in. And I'm going to give you an example, not to lay out any particular person or thing like that about my life. I received a job that would require a lot of time from my life. But the way I got the job was not necessarily of my own doing. It was a young man that saw me working one time, and he saw that I had a good attitude, a good demeanor, and he wanted to know whether or not I'd be willing to do something, that do the job that he was doing. I said, yeah, man, I'd be glad to do that. He said, it's good pay, you know, you just got to go to work and you got to get everything done, and by the looks of you, I see that you could do it. And then come to find out, he was leaving to go and start his own entrepreneurial thing. And he just wanted somebody to replace him in this particular job. And he thought of me. And I said, man, yeah, I'd be glad to help out. And the person that I was assisting, he didn't want him to have to really search for somebody when I was just right there. And so I got to talking to the person about the job, and he told me what it entailed, what you need to do. And then I got to meet the person that was like the spearhead of the job, like the owner. And the owner, when he first met me initially, it wasn't, you know, nothing is really cordial when you really meet people for the first time. There's always like a feeling out situation about who you're dealing with and why. And when you're dealing with who you're dealing with and why, you're dealing with questions that's going to be answered or unanswered throughout the process. So he took a chance on me in terms of me being able to just fill in and help out as much as possible. But what happened along the way was me just needing to understand what I had to do every day, day in and day out. And now me, one thing about me, once I set my mind to doing something, and I know a person that's really focused and really dedicated on something, once you set your mind on something, you're going to do that particular task because that's what your mind had been centered on the entire time, which was to help me pay some bills, was to help me reduce my debt, And no matter how much I listen to Tony Brown or Tony Robbins, I'm sorry, Tony Brown, put two names together. But no matter how much I listen to Tony Robbins or Les Brown or anybody that was in the line of motivating me, that motivation would never help me pay a bill. No matter how much I listen to them, it would never help me pay a bill. Now, I can listen to them, but then if I can apply something that will help me pay my bill, then that fits into the cycle and the information that I need in order to advance my cause. Needless to say, it was difficult for me to do it, but I had to muster up the energy to do it. And as I began to do it, I found out that what I did with this particular job was I had to work overnights. And I had another job where I had to work in the mornings and evenings sometimes. So I had to find a way to make that work. There was nobody that I could find that I could talk to that would make that work. So I had to come up with a plan to make that work for me. And what I was dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, is something that I found truly amazing. Throughout my whole service to this job, I only got 2 hours of sleep, 2 to 3 hours of sleep. And that was just me just being dedicated to the jobs that I have. Not necessarily the funds that came with it, but just trying to fill in those spaces where both jobs had to be serviced to maximum capacity. And I was able to sustain it. But along the way, you run into hiccups all the time. And when you run into hiccups, it's really, really hard to do. But I did it. And there was always a little bit of tension between myself and the things that I was doing. But needless to say, I was still dedicated to the cause. And along the way, sometimes compromises have to be made, but I wasn't really to compromise either job for what I needed to do. I just need to figure out how to make it work. And sometimes along the way, you're gonna find the same thing yourself. And there's a lot that you can and cannot do. And I always focus on what I can control. And the one thing I know that I could control, that was me. I couldn't control anybody else's thought processes or what they felt was right, but I could control me. And you gotta realize that in life, you gotta control yourself, and that's your emotions, that's your perspective, that's your ideology, that's your philosophy, that's your going along to get along, just so you can kind of make things work. But at some point in life, you're gonna reach what I call an intense level of decision making. And an intense level of decision making is is walking out of a door and starting something new, or staying inside of the room while the turmoil is. And if you can handle a lot of turmoil, then you can handle it if you're looking at it from a financial perspective. If you're looking at it from a I don't want to let myself down perspective. But once you begin to make those choices, then those choices become who you will find yourself to be later on in life. So the abbreviated version is I had to make a decision. And I had made a decision a long time ago about what I had entered into. But here's the thing about spiritual awareness. You go into a thing with an idea of how something is supposed to be. And you meditate on it and you reflect on it. And the decision for going into something was a decision where it had really almost peaked. As a matter of fact, I say that it peaked because I was put in the situation where I have to make a decision about what's going on with me. And this particular day, I had to make a choice between two things: my spiritual well-being and the jobs that I currently held at the time. And I respected both parties and I enjoyed them both. But ultimately, you have to make a decision. And I just believed in the decision that I had made, or the resolution that I had derived from all of the experience that I have in life. And we're gonna get that. You're gonna get that no matter what you do. And you have to answer those questions no matter what you do. And no matter how much someone offer you advice about it, you still have to make it yourself, because that decision is going to rest with you. And I had resolved within myself that that decision had to be my choice. And in doing so, I felt good about the choice that was made. But the choice, and here's the strange thing about what people don't understand, the choice was made a long, long time ago when I did it, because I felt like I really wasn't supposed to be there, because I wasn't asked to be there. I was there because the young man I was leaving needed someone to jump in and help out the person that he was dealing with. And I did that. And I did it to the point to where it came to its own conclusion. And I'm telling you that to say this. We're living in a time where, and I don't think it's been different, even if we go back to like the beginning. I think that human emotions and human perspective has always either exalted someone or made someone feel less, but it was never harmonious. It's like men and women are created in this world by God to be men and women to find harmony in life. But we are in disharmony because no matter what we do, somebody always has a detractive message from somebody who's just trying to do well in life, or somebody who's just trying to do good. And so many people want to inspire you in so many different ways that you don't really have time to inspire yourself. The only way to inspire yourself is to be with yourself and to know what your true identity is in this world. And you don't have to share that with everybody. You don't have to tell the world about that. You just got to know, like, this is who I am, right? This is how much of man I can tolerate until I break and I have to, you know, leave that situation to make myself better. And you can't base it upon your wife. You can't base it upon your husband. You can't base it upon the person you date. You can't base it upon your kids. It's something that turns within you, that turns differently than somebody else. And I don't know why we're all made that way, but in order to have harmony with life, you have to have harmony with yourself. You don't even have to have harmony with the people around you. You have to have harmony with yourself, and that will yield harmony with people around you. You know why? Because you don't have to do what they do to be happy. You don't have to lower your standards. Of course, you want to always raise your standards and raise somebody's standards along with you. But if they don't want to go, you have to make sure that your standards is to a level. And I'm talking about on a mortal standpoint, because I don't know what it's like spiritually yet. But you have to get to a mortal standpoint of standards that you know that if you get me to go below this, then I know I'm not myself. If you can stay on that plateau of the things that you're able to deal with, no matter what they say or what they do, you're going to always be the person that's going to choose what's best for you. And I think that's what the world may be going through. I'm not 100% certain. But what I do know is that we're all put on this planet for something. And when you look around the world, you can see that this world is up to something. Like, and I know, like, we just recently had an eclipse. And ever since the eclipse, the weather has been going chaotic. And it could be coincidental, but I don't really think so. But the chaos is causing a lot of confusion with man. Like, they're not understanding why nature is doing the thing that nature is doing. But that's just the way things flow. And when you look around the world, all the different tremors that are going on with the planet is not explainable by us. We got answers. We don't have the answer. So in the midst of all of this, people are still trying to gravitate and grab and hoard whatever they think is theirs. And by hoarding and holding on to what you think is theirs, then you're missing an opportunity to share the level of spiritual awareness that can kind of make most of this balance itself out. But I don't think we're going to balance it out, because we are not encouraging one another in the most spiritual of terms. we're wreaking havoc with encouragement that exists on the physical plane. Now, when it comes to survival of the fittest, we're going to do anything to survive. That's just how this, well, according to just how they say human nature is. But when you, try to tie your life to that, you got to make sure that when you tie it, that it's something you're going to be happy with. And if you, get to the point to where you are enlightened enough about it, then the circumstances don't hurt as much. And you're not trying to reach for false identities. You're not trying to reach for false ideals. You're not trying to make an idol of something that doesn't need to be made an idol of. The most powerful idol you can have is a non-idol. And that is just meditation. In meditation, you're trying to seek the highest form of expression for yourself. But is that what we really want in this day and age? I really don't know. I don't, you know, in time is just keeping, you know, man in his advancement, man, a truly an astronomical man. We got so much technology, man, that is encouraging to see that the future of the planet might be that Star Trek that everybody has been looking for, that Jetson, you know, everything is in the future, flying cars floating on water, you being able to take a pill that heals you right away. We just got so many advances that it's astonishing to just think about. But the one thing that has not advanced, and it's just in my opinion, is the level of spirituality in all human beings. Sometimes people find spirituality when they go through the worst of times. And I heard, and I think wise men said that God made life to struggle. And I look at my life, and my life has been a struggle. But I'm not at the top of my mountain. I don't think I will ever be. But when I think about when they say that God made life to struggle, and I just kind of trace the moment, the tracks of that. The first thing that we do as men and women, we get together, we say we care for each other, we have adult relations and sometimes teenage relations, and then all of a sudden this woman or this girl has conceived a child. And that mother, that woman, that potential mother has to go through this 9-month phase of just trying to get everything, the ingredients together to put this body together so that we can exit her body and become a living vessel. So all of us come this way, right? And then once we are put in the hands of the people that are supposed to take care of us, then here comes the struggle. A baby, they try not to make them struggle, but the baby got to go through everything the baby got to go through to get to the point to where that human being can now function on his own. But what's the struggle? Now, when you struggle in the physical world, it's to acquire the material things of this world. Sometimes it's not even to have possession of your mind. It's just that you want to possess so much of the things that the world presents to you, and you do almost anything for it. I mean, I think that that's the struggle that they see. But God is not going. God did not ordain a struggle for you to acquire things. I don't think that God looked at you and said, okay, I want you to acquire money. I think that we took that on as something that could kind of free us physically from having to worry about the need of food, clothing, and shelter. That we can get the biggest mansion in the world, but it may not make you happy, but you got the resources to help you do that. I think that those struggles, or struggles of men, when people are addicted to drugs, or people are addicted to alcohol, or people are addicted to a numerous amount of things, that's not a struggle for God. That's just a struggle for you. That's your struggle, but that's not God's struggle, because God wouldn't put that struggle in you to do it. It's just that we live in a world where our habits become so dominant that we want to have the latest of everything. We want to outdo the Joneses and the Smiths and the Raphaels. We want to outdo the Smiths. We just want to outdo everybody. And even when we go to the religious organization that we have, we believe that our organization is better than the next organization. But God ain't ordained that struggle for you. The struggle I think that God ordained for us, not just me talking now, is the struggle for pure spiritual awareness. That's the struggle. Because if you can get past all of this possessiveness of things that you have, you'll see that none of it really matters in the end. There's a lot of men and women that has gotten to this level. But when we look at it, we've seen that it's an insurmountable thing, because we can't go unless we have the latest technology. We can't go unless we have the best fashion. We can't go unless we have the best teacher. All of these things teaches you nothing in the end, because at the end of the day, a year from now doesn't mean anything. But seeking spiritual awareness on a level of freedom is forever. You never reach it, no matter how hard you try. And the thing about it is that it keeps the energy in you going, because what are you aiming for? You're aiming to see, can you see the ultimate reality in the reality in which you live? And I know it sounds like it's crazy, but it's like when the eclipse happened, right? And everybody had the glasses on and they looked at it. And it didn't bother me, but to see that it happens is a marvel in the time in which we live. And it's spiritual too, when you think about it. But what do we do after that, right? If you see it as spiritual, it should be a reason for you to delve deeper into meditation and to get your mind to a level to realize that everything is transitory. Nothing is fixed. Everything fades, no matter what you do. But in order for you to understand the true meaning of life, everything around you, you can't take with you. But if you evolve into realize that it doesn't mean anything in the end, then you get better with your level of awareness. And the simplest thing that I can say about you just being aware that there's levels to your life is, have you ever just see people and people don't even look you in the eye and speak no more? That to do that is fearful. To do that is like invading their space. Something as a simple hello causes problems in the lives of the people. Not cause problems, I want to say that, but shows that there's a lack of connectedness in us. And something as simple as that, if we can't correct that, then there's going to be more disconnect. And there's going to be more turmoil in the world that we live. Now, the sun and the moon are not even close to each other and by no stretch of the imagination, but with the eclipse, it gives an illusion that they're close in proximity, but actually they're not. And when you think about spiritual awareness, like even if you use the eclipse as a metaphor and you make yourself the moon, the dark side of you is seen, but the sunlight is still on the moon, it's just on the backside of it. And the sunlight is still great because it's still shining in other parts of the world. When you can realize that you are an eclipse in the moments of your life and you trying to eclipse your own sun, then you become a problem for the world because you dwell in the light, the darkness that's in front of you. You don't see the light that's behind you, which is your spirit, to cause you to do the things that you need to do on a spiritual level. So once the eclipse passes, everybody talk about that moment in time. And I just said to myself, oh, we better in our minds. And then that's when I began to notice that the weather had come bizarre. So we are all working towards a better, more encouraging and fulfilling life. And we just got to find out how to change the eclipse of our mind and make it work where the sun is still the gravitational force of everything, even though the moon, you know, had crossed its path and is not even close in proximity. To give the illusion of that is to show you that the sun is still all powerful and that your mind is that metaphor of it. And you just got to make sure that you can eradicate those things which are holding us back so much that we have not yet been able to free ourselves or extricate ourselves from the situation we find ourselves in. We are made to go from the cradle to the grave. We're designed for that. And there's nothing you or I, anybody can say to do that. We can create all the technology that we want. We can use all the robotics and AI that we want. But these vessels that we have, oh, they are made to expire, and they will expire. I don't care if they make it to where we can take a pier to live to be 200. You're going to fall apart. It's just the natural creation of things. And you just got to make sure that you take care of your mind along the way. And if you can, find a way to spiritually understand the aging process, then mentally you can process the aging process, and then physically what begins to take place, you can understand and then respect that. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you for your time and attention. As always, I just want you to know that life is filled with so much inspiration that it overwhelms the mind sometimes. And most of the time you have to find yourself trying to find it. And sometimes all you got to do is look within. And I'm hoping that you are finding places in your life that you can enjoy just some simple moments, not complicated moments, just simple moments. Sometimes like when wind is blowing against your face, or when you're standing out in the sun and you can feel the heat, or if you're driving and you see a little beautiful smile or something, or you walk and you see a flower or a squirrel or a bee or a bird singing, something just simple enough to just make you realize you are alive, man. And that you don't take anything that you do for granted. So in closing, I have two quotes for you. One is from my mom, and one is from me. My mom says, "I may give out, but I'll never give up. In your search for finding the highest spiritual level of yourself, don't give up, because it's only an enlightened moment away." And I have one where it says, "Life does not require more from you. Life does not require less from you. Life only requires that you maximize your 24 hours, and in doing so, you can have anything that you desire." You're going to go through life experiencing a lot. Even right now with this particular podcast, you're going to go through experiencing a lot. And just understand that briefly, your life is an eclipse. And you only looking at the front side of it and not the back side. And remember that sooner or later that moon is going to remove itself from the sun. And the same bright light was there when it rose, be the same bright light that you see in the morning. The moon will take its place back in the order of things until another eclipse comes. But in the process of you having any dark moments or any doubt, just remember that your brightest moment is the most spiritual experience that you can have, that will awaken the life that you need to understand about the struggle that you need for a spiritual awakening, that will awaken you, that in return will awaken you to the world. Until we meet again, peace.